Okay, welcome everyone for the weekly English medium discussion. We have less than 1 hour. Sorry that I have taken little bit time from the single medium. So we can start the English medium discussion. So for the English medium discussion, we have already appointed topic. That means particular discourse from the Sutta Nipata. Before going into the that appointed discussion topic, if anyone is having any other thing to be presented or interview reports or any suggestions, we'll take few minutes before and then we are revert back to the old topic. If there are no comments, since we have already started little late, I would like to invite Venerable Buddha Rakhita, Irish Bhante, to start with the point where we stopped last time.
Okay, so just to remind people again, we started a new sutta last week, and it is the setting according to the commentaries is that there's a dispute between the Sakyans and the Kolians over a river. So land has been, there's a land dispute because the river has moved and a battle is about to ensue where they're going to fight over who has authority over the land. So one side has lost land, the other side has gained land, and this is how it is. So the Buddha, to kind of try to stop this battle or fight between his relatives and friends and supporters, he uses his psychic powers to float between them over the river, and he gives this discord that we're now about to hear. So this is quite a popular sutta in Burma. You'll often see this painted. You'll see a battle scene on both sides of a river, and you see the Buddha floating over the river. So it's quite a famous sutta in that sense. So last week we tackled the first verse, and I think we had done the second verse.
Yeah.
So the third verse, the world was insubstantial all around. All the directions were in turmoil. Having an abode, desiring an abode for myself, I did not see any place unoccupied. Having seen those hostile at the end, discontent came upon me. Then I saw the dart here, hard to see, nestled in the heart. When one is struck by that dart, one runs astray in all directions. But having drawn out that dart, one does not run, does not sink. So here, the Buddha is describing the experience of being one of those people where one's whole existence, one's life, one's place on the world has been like liquidated, has been annihilated, has been the order has been completely thrown into disarray. And so there is no more direction. In every direction there's turmoil. And this basic desire, this need, this necessity to have a place, to have an abode, to have some place to call one's own, to belong somewhere, this desire for myself, and I did not see any place unoccupied. So to be cast out like that, to be to have no ground to stand on is a very great fear. It is a very great destruction of one's sense of security. Having seen those hostile at the end, discontent came upon me. So again, people are resistant to give you a place in the world, you know, especially if you're not a family member or something like that. So, you know, you have no place to stand in the world. So it's a very special kind of discontent. You feel very miserable. You feel very oppressed. You feel very dejected. You feel very powerless. And instead of looking towards others, the hostility, he looks inside his own heart and he sees the dart, hard to see, nestled in the heart. When struck by that dart, one runs astray in all directions. So he realizes that the true battle is not with the people around him. It's not as such that he has no place in the world, but it is the fear within his heart that he has no place in the world. So this is what he describes as a dart. Frequently the Buddha describes this suffering in the world as a dart, and he has described famously in another sutta the two darts as the dart of, we'll say, physical pain, and then the dart of mental suffering. So we need to have an account. We need to be very clear about why we're, you know, what is the physical suffering that we're experiencing, and then what is the mental suffering. So in this case, the physical suffering is that he has no place in the world. He has no domicile, no residence, no home. But the mental suffering is the thing that is nestled in his heart. And that discontent is something that the Buddha then is going to discuss, like how we can tackle that. Because if we can tackle that, then we can tackle maybe some of the other physical difficulties. So that is those three verses there. I wanted to discuss them in a group because the next section of this sutta, the Buddha will move on to discussing how his teaching and the trainings in his teaching tackle this problem of the dart. So now we have the kind of problem statement set up by the Buddha that the world is insubstantial, that we desire a place in that world, seeing no place in that world, and only seeing the hostility of other people, a great discontent has arisen in that person's mind, and they see that the part of that suffering they can really tackle is the dart in their own heart itself. And when that dart is struck, when it's active, one runs astray in all directions. But having drawn out that dart, one does not run, does not sink. So the Buddha realizes that if we can tackle this dart, so in a weird way, you have to be kind of opportunistic when suffering arises, whatever that suffering is. If the circumstances generate this suffering, we don't run away from the suffering. In fact, we have to kind of look to the origin of that suffering in the heart itself and tackle it, to run towards it, to be like the fireman who runs into the burning building, not running away from it like most other people. To get down to the source of the problem, to trace it back to its causes, and to identify and apply the prescription of the Noble Eightfold Path, to realize that physical suffering has this concomitant, this shadow of mental suffering, and if we can remove the mental suffering, then at least we've tackled the majority of the problem. Of course, the physical suffering can still remain, but at least we have taken and managed what is manageable, because often the physical suffering is unmanageable. It cannot be repaired, it cannot be fixed, such as aging, sickness, and death. We cannot really, there is no cure to this phenomena. All people will age, all people will have some kind of sickness, and all people will die. So these darts cannot be as such, they have no ultimate cure. But we can have this cure in our mind towards that that shadow of suffering that is a part of aging, sickness and death. Or in this case, that we wish to live, we wish to exist, we wish to have a house, we wish to have a home, we wish to have a place in the world. And in this situation, there was no place in the world. So this is just some basic ideas about this this group of verses in the sutta.
So as usual, I would like to give the Sinhala version. I will start with the gatha, the stanza number 3. Samantama saro loko disa sabba samerita ichha bhavana mattanto naadda sai naadda sasing anosita. See, whole world is barren. Now the present day science and the politicians, they say some fertile lands are there, we have to conquer them. There are some fertile places in the information technology, we have to go there. There are good time in our life, we have to explore into that. And that is what they keep on doing. But the Buddha says, whole world is nothing but barren. So therefore, not encouraging for agriculture. Just discouraging. Not the intensive agriculture, any agriculture. But we have to live. So we have to compromise with this. That's what is available. The fibrous matters, not the luxuries, not the killing animals and all the kind of thing. That whole world, in that sense, you know, it will not be happy to ask, happy to listen. Samanta masaro loko sabba disa sabba samerita. If I look with my omniscient knowledge all over the world, I don't know whether it is the universe or the galaxy or the world, it's a barren. But the politics cannot be under such circumstances. Economy cannot be under such circumstances. The sociology cannot be under such circumstances, because they think there may be some essence. There may be some fertile land. That's why we are fighting. With gold and copper and copper and all the kind of things. But this is just barren. Iccha bhavana mattanto naadda sing anosita. Everywhere it is shaken by impermanence. So there are no place for refuge. People are searching, but there's no place of refuge, but they think that is because my parents are wrong, government is wrong, sky is wrong, or something like, therefore I can have some hope and I can do some service to the humankind. So they are searching, searching, searching. But the Buddha, after seeing everything, I mean, omniscient knowledge, he says, there is no place where not affected by and inflicted by birth, old age, sickness and death. Every other same. But still we think tomorrow will be better, and other places will be better, and other people may be better off. So this is the ignorance. That's the stanza number 4. I think you, Bhante, went to the fourth one. Osanitvava vyaruddho diswame arating ahu atitta sallang addakshin duddhasam hade nishidam. Third one is the what I wrote, that the dart and everything is in the fourth one. The fourth one says, the youth become old age, healthy people become sick. So likewise it is going to the maturity. Maturity means nearing death. I develop kind of a discompassion or emancipation. I am not searching. And all the animals or beings, they have desire at their heart. It's a dart.
They are run and motivated by desire, and it is being hadeyang, is the what, hadey nishitang is the Pali term, but sita asurukala raga adhyas, in single translation it says mind base. But usually commentaries never give the mind base to the brain. It is giving to the heart. Oh, it's a question. Whatever it may be, hade nishitang. So in Thai tradition, hade means the mind. In Western thinking, mind means the brain. So this kind of misunderstanding there. But to go to the Pali source, dudasang hade nishitang. I can't see how I become motivated because I don't see my desire that I am born with. I think it is everyone's disease, so it is not a disease. Because it is promoted by education. It's promoted by the political planning. It's promoted by economy. Promoted by social science. So therefore desire, creativity and productivity, they consider as our parents are fool. I am not left. I am searching. I am going. And they don't see that is the bloody thing leading them to go to this barren world and searching everywhere to get a better half or better peace. Not to the my fellow being, I must have. So therefore I develop kind of a dispassion by looking at the people go in search of happiness. Happiness in the worldly matters. Happiness in materiality. Not a single person on the earth excusable. But lucky enough, for the last 30-40 years, I am very vigilant and observant. There are some people, a limited number of people, but higher percentage than what I expected, they are about to see the cessation. In meditation, in pain, in the day-to-day affairs, and family members, peer group, they find the best thing is to accept the cessation rather than productivity, creativity and kind of thing. So observing the cessation is the productivity, is a revolutionary thing, is against the grain. So there are some people it highlighted and accelerated the gain after COVID. COVID was a blessing. It was a blessing in disguise. And before that, in Sri Lanka, we got tsunami. Before tsunami, our male section, not so popular. After tsunami, it's always houseful. The rooms down there, people are coming at a rate. If I can create another tsunami, I will build another meditation center. It opened their eyes. Otherwise, they are very happy at family atmosphere and the air-conditioned room and the cars and all the kind of thing. They don't think there is something in the forest. There is something in solitude. Something where there is no searching. But they think searching, the building, the world building, or lokavaddaka, as something as a very great thing, and that is what the scientists did. They all bloody fools. They search outside and they went for luxuries, and we fellows still going. But unlucky enough, the West and the America, they know this luxuries give not so much of pleasure. They give superiority as far as the Africa and Asia is available, because we are looking forward. But when you go there, there's nothing. They have so much of frustration. There is so much of tension. Hysteria. Suicidal. Killing. Serial killing. Not a single Aboriginal person or single animal committed suicide. Only bloody fool, civilized people only. Think. In Sri Lanka, in university, Peradeniya itself, 8 children committed. Majority from the engineering faculty. That means a top class degree. I think the children, the students, they know engineering misleading the world. After the degree, after getting the job, in Sri Lanka, namely, I am not afraid, electricity board. petroleum corporation, civil roads, they are the basic culprits in Sri Lanka. Irrigation department, railway department, run by engineers. They have such a cult group. Even the government changes, that cannot be. We are so biased, so slavery to the fossil fuels because of their mafia. They are maintaining that. So I think that infusion is there for undergraduates now. That's why they say, even after getting the job and the degree, I am going to get the higher class. But when you go there, you become the highest robber or rogue behind the robe. So that may be, that is why I am searching. I told, why don't you put a social survey and see how much the suicidal trend is related to the adverse childhood experience. And then how can we do, I quoted you in the meeting, telling that Sudhu Amdru is giving me a clue to see the prevention is better than cure. Here I am not answering the cure. Cure is most important, but the prevention is better, not to commit suicide. Understand the emotion. Understand the failure. For that, one thing is their parents have done committed or their elders gave adverse childhood experience. Second thing, their generation, engineers means culprits. There are a lot of engineers I am associating. They always come into the forest and they try to be completely here now I am, rather than claiming as engineers. And the doctors. So people think that I am so envious about the doctors and the engineers because I failed to go to engineering faculty or the medical faculty, I went to the agriculture faculty. Because I got lesser marks. No. No. They are the main culprits in the developed countries and the developing countries directing people, just like the Rohana Nadi, between the Rohana Nadi, Kaliya, Swakya and Koliya fighting. It is not the common beings fighting. The rulers killed each other. This is mother's clan, this is the father's clan. Fighting. Buddha, he lost. He's listless. Three times he tried. Two, fair success. Third one, bloodshed. And that is how it's Atadanda Bayanjatan Janam Pasata Medaga. So anyone who taken a club, develop fear, and you see all the people have their own pistol. They have martial arts. I have knives. Dhamdru? I always keep, but it is in the cupboard, the cutthroat kind of a knife. But when I am using just a thrown away blade. They are a separate issue. So this is how the world. So Buddha says, I develop dispassion by looking at it because all the creators, all the newly inventors are inventing sex, inventing sensuous pleasure. But the Buddha invented everything beforehand, and lucky or unlucky enough, it is only in Sutta Nipata. Therefore, these suttas cannot be translated, just like Sanskrit sources. So, if you go to the Atthadanda Sutta, you may find 3-4 translations. We are referring for the moment Bhikkhu Bodhi, because he utterly depending on the commentaries. But the normal Westerners, they come with the contemporary knowledge. So their interpretations are different. And even the Sri Lankan translation, I can see the Hade Nishitang, they indicate the heart. Hade means heart. This is mind-based. They have their own rights to give their interpretation. But it is not with the verbal translation. It is not word-to-word translation. So, whenever the Buddha is compiling that kind of very essential part as a gatha, lucky enough they came in the tradition by hearting. And there are the Sutta Nipata and some of the Udana Pali. There are some few books. And Uttang Hetam Bhagava. That is the way the Venerable Sariputta is praying. Just giving the sundry items, small pecks, what the Buddha taught, exactly the same. So these things, language is different, archive. And you can have number of the interpretations. Because after 2600 years. So Sutta Nipata is the most discussed. And we are in Atta Danda Sutta. So this is how I thought of contributing by giving the Pali and Sinhala translation. Otherwise we never open this book. Never open this book for a topic for a Dhamma talk. Topic for discussion. Because it's very difficult, the language is archive, and you just kept it because you have a fear of freedom. You have fear of unknown, fear of truth. So I am not going to say we are completely revealing the truth. At least we are trying. So please, if you have any other comments or if you have any other interpretation, welcome.
Sadhu, 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 Bhante. Thank you, Swaminatha. I just thought I would share the Bhikkhu Bodhi, what he says about the dart. He says... When then I saw the dart here... when one is struck by the dart, that's the fourth one? Okay, yeah. When one is struck by the dart, and then he points out there are seven darts. There's lust, hatred, delusion, conceit, views, sorrow, and perplexity. And so I was thinking about those. And I guess it seems that what he's saying, Swaminatha, is that whenever we have any kind of pain we feel due to some suffering that happens to us, is all these darts arise. If somebody has... somebody is feeling loss, maybe. Say one has lost their loved one, and so that's the the fact is your parent has died or something, your sister or something like this, and at that point. You feel suffering, and lust would arise, hatred, delusion, conceit, views, sorrow, and perplexity. They would all arise with that suffering. Would you agree with that, Swaminatha? Would you agree that?
I was searching about the seven darts, and it is in the page number 1192. Having seen those hostile at the end, discontent come upon me. That is what the Buddha is. He is giving his own view. It is indicated in Sinhala translation also. There are seven darts, and that is what you are reading. Yes, that is what I was searching about.
Yes. It seems as though that's true. Whenever we're suffering, we feel these different...
Because your father is suffering, you feel.
Yes.
I know it.
Yes, I feel.
That is how you are relating it. His mother was suffering. He felt it. He visited.
Yes.
And then the Venerable Buddha Rakita.
Yes.
During the COVID time, I felt he just wanted to talk. Because a brother is suffering in different way, sister is suffering in different way, he is suffering from the different way. He is measuring the brother's suffering and the sister's suffering. But I saw his suffering. Mm-hmm. Then I told, how can I share? Because my mother was hospitalized 7 days, no one informed me. thinking that I don't care. And once you passed away, still they had an argument telling whether Bhante will come or not. Because I have decided I have no relationship. But it happened, I start crying simply. So I went to Jnanarama, I can't report to him. My mother passed away. You are like a child. What happened? He's just looking at my face. Okay. Ask Venerable Jnananda and Khemananda to come. Arrange a vehicle. You have to participate in the funeral. Don't do any religious part. You go there and behave like a monk. I was only few months after the ordination. So when I go there, everyone expected, just like in my father's corpse, I will collapse and faint. No. I never have any talk with anyone, and I know this thing is coming. So exactly I felt when he heard mother is sick, when you feel the father is sick, and you people are, you fellows are monks, your parents are not appreciating your monkhood or blessings or kind of thing, but you all have blood relationship. So this seven is working. Am I too much explaining that... Your father is sick and your mother is sick. I don't think you are offended.
No, Swaminathan. Thank you.
Buddha-kita-amso. Telling your whole private life. I mean, if you share with me, I mercilessly I will share with others. Because that is not his suffering, it is my suffering. Everyone is there.
I'm glad to see we're humans.
I mean, yeah, we are human.
You know, instead of normally you're passionate.
Yeah. Yes, well.
We're just white people.
This is
it's a sorrow, grief, laments, beating ones. No, where are the 7 points?
You don't understand us, you white people. What the hell?
No, you white and my black, both the parents are, when they are passing away, we feel.
We don't have parents. We don't have the same problems.
No, we have the same. That's what I am telling. Everyone is sharing the same. But Buddha gave 7. What is the point where you find the 7 dots? Page number?
In the Bhikkhu Bodhi. Yes, 1192. Page 1192. That's the notes. When one is struck by the dart. It's the commentary page.
Yeah. That is what I am now in that page. They're struck by the dart. These are 7 darts. The darts are, yes. Thank you.
Yes, Bhante. I appreciate that you're sharing, that you're bringing this up because about our parents, because we have to practice with our lives. It's not, you know, it's not a philosophical practice. We have to actually practice with our own suffering. And so, that's great.
Anyone having here the... worrying about the parents or family members with the 7 dots? Can share with us? White fellow? Sudhwami is always fighting for whites. That's why he's make a point to hint me.
No, not exactly, but about the fact again that I find it very interesting to see our still different perspectives. How, and I found when Buddha Rakita was talking about the dart, and when you were talking about the dart, that it was a very different view, I found. So in this discussions here, I find it very valuable to see the differences in our view, probably from how we grew up, and then but coming to the point that we are so similar or same in probably the most important parts. Thank you for this.
No, the difference is the similarity. We have difference, but still the same. Lust means lust. Male or female, ordained or non-ordained, no problem. But you see, under such circumstances, when the interpreter is giving interpretation, completely filtered through his likings and disliking, his way. But lucky enough, he has done an effort and expressed. That's the base for us. And we are giving our interpretation. That's the way the discussion is progressing.
Avasarai Swaminathan, sir, when I hear about Bhante's situation, so I was, I remembered my situation when I was it was 2014 when my father passed away. So I couldn't, nobody couldn't understand what was it, a suicide or was it a heart attack. So I was the only child. I was the only kid. I was the only son at home at that thing happened to my father. And when I was working in, I was a hotelier. My father was a hotelier, so I was running the business. And one of my worker came to me and said that their father is sick and you should go and have a look. So he was several times actually before I born, he has tried to suicide himself. And so a couple of times I heard that he gonna try. So at that time I thought, though, he's not going to do it again. So, I was not really serious about the situation. So, but somehow he got serious situation, and I was delayed for a few hours. So then somehow my mother came home and has took him to the hospital. So he was in the ICU, and then he passed away. So I was going mad, and for that 3 or 4 days he was in the ICU, and then he got passed away. So after, I was in shock. I couldn't cry, and then my tears didn't come out. So I was in shock. And so somehow, days by days, months by months, and every day I wake up with tears and like my wounded face. I was looking at my face. I wanted to scream out, but I'm holding it, and my face got red every day, every, and then my whole routine went out of control. So I was having party, I was a fun guy, and then suddenly everything collapsed. It's like, it happened upside down. So even my friends didn't want to hang out with me because I'm going, and to that situation. And somehow, and then in that incident helped me to find out, I wanted to find out what how I can come out from the situation. And then I was looking all around the country, and then the masters, these some famous monks, and I was following everyone to come out from this sadness. And then somehow I find this, I luckily heard this mindfulness, and it helped me, And then, so now I'm remembering the same situation. Now I don't have any turmoils or any, heavy pains. Yeah. But somehow now I'm lucky that happened. Now somehow it gave me the strength to face the problems, and so I'm thankful for sharing my story with you, Bhante. Yes,
just as you were talking, thank you for sharing that experience. It made me think of how we have these darts that arise, and rather than, I've always heard that when you speak to somebody who's sick or dying, that you should just try to be with them and not try, don't let your suffering kind of affect them. So it's been a good practice for me to let go of, even thoughts of should I act really, should I be more compassionate or something, but rather to be just be with him and listen to how he's feeling today, each day, just see how's, where is he at, and just be there for him. And when I called him last night, I felt felt really kind of depressed about it, because I'm here and I don't have much power. I feel like I should be there, by his side. But you know, when I said, you know, I said to myself, you just have to put that down and just be there for him. And so it gives me, something about the letting go of the dart, you know, not believing in the dart is making sense in that way, you know. Just to be present for other people and without, like a sort of like a mirror, if you can. And, you know, I try to be positive and be supportive and just bring some sunshine into his day and, you know, kind of like encourage him a little bit. But I don't, if he doesn't accept the encouragement, if he's feeling really down, I just let, you know, I go with that, you know, and just see, what's that? Or, you know, try to see how I could support that, his discouragement, you know, just to offer practical, maybe advice if I see some way that he could feel better. But, those are just my thoughts on this. Thank you, Swami Ananta, for bringing it up.
There are no comments, we can advance.
Okay, so there the trainings are recited. Whatever bonds there are in the world, one should not be intent on them. Having entirely pierced through sensual pleasures, one should train for one's own nibbana. One should be truthful, not imprudent, without hypocrisy, devoid of divisive speech, without anger. A muni should cross over the evil of greed and miserliness. So here, the trainings or the precepts are recited. So every fortnight we recite the Patimokkha. But in the mornings, like a lot of traditional Buddhists will recite the precepts, the five precepts. They may recite some other verses, like say the Mangala Sutta or something like that. So we recall the training. The Buddha's own dying words were apamadena sampateta. So apamadena means not like don't be forgetful. So we emphasize often mindfulness as like just staying with the breath or staying with the walking. But mindfulness also means don't forget the teachings themselves. So the act of recital of training is a very important part of the practice, where we call to mind the training itself. Like the Buddha gave a prescription. He wasn't random. He just wasn't a philosopher talking about suffering. You know, you can find a lot of people who write about the woes of the world. They have anxiety about the woes of the world. The Buddha is never anxious about the woes of the world. He's very deliberate, and he has this way of grasping the problem. So here we have this situation of a dispute over a territory. So as you know, we have a big dispute over a territory going on at the moment in the Ukraine. But you don't really get the feeling from all the politicians that they've grasped the fundamental human nature and the fundamental drivers and all of this kind of thing that are going on. Instead, they're like tips and tricks on how to win a war. You know, whereas here the Buddha is actually taking that very difficult situation and pointing it back towards the heart. So here the trainings are not like, how do I get, cluster munitions, or how do I supply tanks? The training here is, our precepts, which are very important. Without sila, we don't have a basis for samadhi, for mindfulness practice, for vipassana. Then also without the precepts, we don't have the discipline. You know, actually the meditation instructions are quite simple, but without the discipline to do those trainings, then we fall aside. So this recital of the trainings is very important. Whatever bonds there are in the world, one should not be intent on them. So that means we understand a bond as a bond. So it's not a pleasurable thing. It's not a great, I'm so posh, or I have this, wonderful status in the world. You have to see that is a bond itself. So you don't make that bond the be-all and the end-all. You don't make your children the be-all and the end-all. You don't make your relationship with your parents the be-all and the end-all. You understand the bond, and you're not bonded by that bond. That doesn't mean that you don't have a relationship with them, but there's a shift in your relationship with the bonds. You shift towards what is the necessity versus what is the entanglement, the enmeshment of it. And having entirely pierced through sensual pleasures, one should train for one's own nibbana. So here, nibbana isn't an escape into a heavenly realm. You know, nibbana means I have ultimate pleasure, or the Thai like this expression, nibbana here and now, which means you have whatever the hell you want. Nibbana here means extinguishment of suffering itself, the extinguishment of the dart. So having entirely pierced through sensual pleasures. So that means that you really know these sensual pleasures very well. It's not as monks that we deny sensual pleasures. I was being asked the other day about, you know, sexual pleasure and all these other pleasures. And I said, you know, you have to pierce your way through these things. You have to realize that they're a bond and they're attractive in their own way, but there are higher and better attractions or better happinesses, like freedom from suffering is a greater pleasure, a greater happiness than freedom, like of freedom of pleasure. So whatever pleasure I want in the world is a pathway towards being bonded towards more and more darts. Whereas freedom from pleasure is this piercing through the sensual pleasures, where you realize there's a bond and an entrapment and a dart intrinsic to that bond, to that desirable thing, and you train for the extinguishment from that suffering. You know, you see the fault in it. So then he gets into how you're going to do this. One has to be truthful, not imprudent, without hypocrisy, devoid of divisive speech, without anger. A Muni should cross over the evil of greed and miserliness. So he has established like the problem. The problem is that in this case, like one has this great dart of pain because of the one doesn't have a place in the world. Then he tells us that we have to find a way through to Nibbana, to the extinguishment of all suffering. And now he's getting into how we're going to do it. So he's very concrete. He's very clear. Like that's one of the qualities of like reading this kind of an old sutta, is that once you get over the poetic nature of it, which was there to help people memorize it for recital. People would recite these verses to themselves. But different verses have different attractiveness depending on one's personal history. Supposing you've grown up here in the war the last 35 years. It's amazing. Now I can talk to people here in Sri Lanka and they have no knowledge, no significant memory of the war, which is a good thing. It's not like I want to go to Americans and say, hey, do you remember the Civil War of the 1800s? Like, nobody has any personal knowledge of it anymore. We shouldn't. Or if I say to Germans, you remember World War II? You know, a lot of Germans don't have direct knowledge of it, no direct experience. So similarly here, like, people were, you know, complaining about, oh, you know, this last few years have been very difficult. And I'm still thinking, wow, this is nothing compared to the war. Like, am I wrong in my perception? You know, sometimes I talk to older people saying, you know, wasn't it worse during the war than now? You know, am I wrong? At least I found it bad. I found the war bad. I didn't find this last period of time so terrible. You know, have I changed? What's gone wrong? Or what's, you know, is my perception of the world incorrect? So the Buddha has this ability to really grasp these problems that are going on in the world and not be distracted by the problem and get down to the heart of the problem, the dart. And then, you know, here's the pragmatic steps we have to take to tackle that problem. So if we get to spend more time on the sutta, we'll get through the pragmatic nature of the Buddha as well.
Because it is related to his clans, father's relations and the mother's relations. So he's still in the family affair. So he's short to the point, short and sweet. But even the Buddha's knowledge never worked. It's a very grandiose knowledge, but they never listen. They still had the fight and they killed each other, but the knowledge remained. That for us, we are just philosophizing. We can see rationality behind. But it is based upon the real, actual situation. So even he can't stop it. Two times he was successful. A third time, still went there. So that is the way. But that does not indicate you have to just be passive and say, try from the beginning not to take an effort. Take an effort. Do it with metta. Then do it with karuna. Then do it with mudita. And if it is not so, upekkha. That is the wisdom. That upekkha is not just blind effecta from right from the beginning. You try all the three methods. Metta, karuna, mudita. And if it is a failure, just behave like a blind person or like a deaf. Metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha. Metta, loving kindness, karuna, compassion. Mudita is sympathetic joy. Then let loose. Brahma viharas. So many people consider Brahma viharas very emotional. No, they are very practical. They are very practical. You are not just starting with upekkha. You try your best, metta karuna. So when the person come to the wisdom based upekkha, sajnana upekkha, not ajnana upekkha, he knows the history. This is the way I tried, karuna, metta karuna, mudita. Now I am ready to accept. That is maturity. Yena sallena otinno sabbadisa vidhavati tameva sallang abhuya na dhavati na siddhati. The person got darts and inflicted by dart running up and out. Panic. Salli udraapiya hama dikata ha gati adhiyata nodivei. So the Buddha says, instead, his example is that the house is burning. You are just not running panic. You understand it. So unless otherwise you stop the source, panicking is no problem. No answering. Likewise, see the dart. Even if you rescued yourself or even if you save your life, still the dart is there. The seven darts. He is not running into the situation, or he is not superfluous also. Under such dirt situation, he understands. This situation is pressing, this situation is life-threatening. But it's a good situation, you have to understand. Even you save or even you rescued, still you have the same dirt. So that is the point where the science fails. That's the point where technology fails. Whatever the success, they are extrovert. Science prevents us from understanding the present moment darts. Give the hope, and depending on the scientist and the technology and kind of thing, no. You have to understand your dart is your dart. No one can do it, even you rescued or not. Yes?
Sadhu, Swaminanta. I just wanted to thank you for your teaching and appreciating this, and to Bhante as well for helping bring this sutta to life and bring it close to home to our lives. Thank you, Swaminanda.
It's close to home because your father is sick, not otherwise. I am really closely monitoring to feel how and Sivali also told, Sudhwamru is little upset. Then I told, no, he is sharing with me. He is coming because his meditation is okay, but he is working with his father. He is my father, and we are working. So it makes us more sensitive, more emotional.
Okay.
Swami Nansa, we would like to pay respects to you.